Welcome to the Wise Words with One Gone Show. 50 states strong, 2 hours long. 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Friday, rap nights from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday with Miss Jerry from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And the Sunday gospel show, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Log on to www.blogtalkradio.com.
I done picked the wrong commercial, man. That's the old man when we had it popping, man. When we had it popping. You know what? We got it popping again. It is the Wise Words with One Gone Show, man, and I got my brothers online. We going to go to the phone line right quick and introduce ourselves and get this show on the road. Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing good.
Good morning to you, my brother. Right on.
All right.
Brand new.
And so, yeah, man, we back on the air like we care. And so the number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Today's topic is, where are the churches? I heard us talk about it yesterday, and I heard a few people last night when I was talking to them at this other situation I had went to after the men's circle. And what I found out is that the church is in a building. They're not in the streets to help us combat the hood from suffering from sex trafficking, fentanyl youth, and gang violence. We want you to call in today and let's speak about that because it's a lot going on. And before, I said, you know, back in the day, The church was where everybody went to get information, bring information, and disseminate the information. So if Ray Ray was over there cutting up, they'd go to the church, and the deacons and the brothers would go and talk to Ray Ray. They would really go do that because I've seen it as a young boy done, right? Or say Lil Charles got locked up, and he did a misdemeanor crime, but they locked him up because of his mouth, right? And so they would call the chaplain to come on down, and if the chaplain knew his that boy's family, he can talk and sign a paper and get that young man out. What we're seeing now is CBOs, which is community-based organizations, holding the reign of doing mental health, doing programs for sex trafficking, mental health, and other things, right? And so I'm asking, where is the church in all this, right? Where is the church? So I'm going to go to the switchboard, and I've got Larry coming in. Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Larry. Okay. Well,
good morning.
We're going to keep moving.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. And so I'm just asking, where's the church? Somebody can chime in and tell me what they see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is through my lens I'm not seeing what I used to see, and I'm just trying to bring something up. But if you see something different, I need to hear from you. 515-605-9861. What's going on, brother? Somebody talk to me.
Man, what I've grown to see, I was raised up in church, and I parted ways with the church because I had my own feelings as a kid. When I turned 11, I parted ways, and God saw fit to bring me back in at the age of 34 just to show me the reason why he pulled me out, because God allowed you to see some things. But anyway, what I have seen is that today the church is chasing the bag just like everybody else. Our young folks they're suffering out here because there's no place of refuge. Churches should be open 24/7, but they're locked up. You could break into a bank faster than you can a church these days. Men and women of God have lost sight on the people of God. They only care about they four and no more. And that really needs to change. These ministers, which everybody's supposed to be a minister, should be out here in these streets where the action is. But everybody wants to be a general and sit back and point fingers. And it's very important that we all get in touch with our leaders, the preachers, the ministers, and so on, to help combat these problems out here in these streets. And I'm ready for some input.
Well, this is your co-host here, Marvell Wilson, responding to the question, where are the churches? And what I've observed is they're like every mile or mile and a half away in our community. That's where they are, the buildings are. However, I only see the buildings, and if I don't go into the church, I only see people coming out of them and people going into them on Sunday. So when my reaction to that question and my concur with Brother Mark, that there seems to be a lack of willingness to practice that spirit other than in a tribal form. And then there's this opposition church to church. So they're like in competition, it seems like to me, trying to get members from one church to the other. So it's kind of convoluted to me that we're having this conversation about what the church is doing when we should already know what the church is doing. But if you're not a church member, you don't know what they're doing. What say ye?
That's true. That is true.
And so, what I got out of that, and what I say is that you see them going in and out of the church, but that's either on Sunday or prayer meeting or Bible study, and that's for a certain part of the community, and that's the members of that church. My question is, if I'm not a member and you're trying to, you know, get me to be a member, how do you persuade me through what I see from you? How do you persuade me to be a member of your church when I'm losing all my loved ones out here in these streets? I'm watching the drug trafficking. I'm watching the sex trafficking. And I'm watching everybody else put a hand on it, but the church. Everybody. There's some churches. Now, don't get it twisted now. I'm not going to put every church in that bag. That's just like people put every black person in the bag saying because Johnny bad, everybody bad, that's black.
Right,
no,
right.
That ain't what I'm saying.
Right.
That ain't what I'm saying. But everyone know on this show and worldwide know that the church has lost its way. Now, if you tend not to agree with me, I beg to differ. I ask you that you go and check out these churches. I ask that you go sit in at these churches. And so there are some churches and some mighty men of God that are still doing the work as Christ did, right?
Yes, sir. I agree with you.
There are some, but not enough, right? Because the reason I say that, just like Brother Marvell said, there's a church every other block, every five blocks, put it that way, every 10 blocks. There's a church every 10 blocks. And they don't even congregate with one another. So how would you get a sinner to come and congregate when churches don't even congregate no more? They used to have where, you know, we visit churches every week almost in the evening. We do a service at Grandpa Church, and then we go visit Mount Moriah. We go visit St. John. They brung each other together. They picnic together. Right now, there's not enough communication and togetherness with churches. That's I think, is the biggest problem. There's no church better than any church because the church is preaching about the good word, the message from God. And so if we look at it that way, then we should see a stronger force of people coming together to rid our city of what we're ailing from. And so I know I stepped on some toes. I don't mean to step on no toes, but the real is the real. And if you don't see where churches have disconnected from one another, then I ask that you open up your eyes.
Well, my brother, can I chime in on that? Because I'm finna step on some toes. These churches are no better than the gangs. They're competing, as was said earlier, they're competing against each other for members. And there are churches closer than five blocks. You have churches a few steps away from another church. And it's like I said, they're just like the gangs. Religion brings about division, and that's not of God. God wants unity. He wants unity. It's right there in the book. He wants unity. That's why we've lost community. You got preachers come out of one church, and they'll move to another church and start their own and take members from that church. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's about fellowship. And without fellowship, there's nothing. So you have to think about what ship you're getting on. It's going to sink. And like I say, you know, these youth, they see that. Everybody sees it. You know, you got a household going to different churches. You know, that's why I look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. They get out there. They do outreach. You see them all the time. Even the Mormons, you see them riding their bikes out there doing outreach, going into the homes. They going into places where we live in those areas and we won't even walk out there. You know, it's sad. It is sad. So we got to do better. We got to do better. Go ahead, my brother.
I think the consolation I prefer not to say we're stepping on toes. I just prefer to think that we're massaging some new muscles in that organism. I like to think that we're bringing back forth something that this body may just have forgotten, and so we're just bringing them, apprising them of to things that maybe they knew they should be doing and fell away from it, but now they can fall back into the role. Because when we talk about churches, man, when I was young, and we had to use a referral service system that helped us get where we are in our consciousness now, right? It ain't like back in the day. We're talking about back in the day how things were perfect, but we're talking about how structure was there back in the day to help us understand that structure is not here today, right? Because the churches, when I came up, the churches were open every day with some curriculum every day. We had the YMCAs, we had the churches, we had these social agencies that allowed you to funnel in, be a part of the activity, and increase the fellowship by familiarity. You're seeing your community members somewhere, and that's how we can hold each other accountable when we see each other somewhere in the community, and then we can say, "Hey, man, what you up to? Dude, what you doing? That ain't good. Oh, man, you know that ain't gonna work." I'll pray for you if you think that's gonna work, but hey, I see you, and I don't think that's a smart thing to do. See, we can pull each other up when we're in flow, seeing each other, interacting with each other, but the interaction is so minimal here. It's strictly tribal.
Correct.
Okay, brothers, I wanted to say something to you. Hold on. Now, we didn't do our regular intro, but I'm hoping that we as we grow into this process of doing this broadcast, I hope we can be get it tighter and more crisp. And not have the sounds in the background. So if you think you're gonna be in a sound place where sounds are, you know, let's practice trying to keep them sounds out, because it really mars our presentation. Because we're marketing the people to pay attention to us, And when we had those background things, it's just a big distraction. So I'm just hoping we can be more mindful of that, because I try to keep in a soundproof place, and I keep still throughout this whole thing so that I won't do that, because I heard how it sounds when there are distractions in the background. So let's work on that, man, because we're gonna blow something up here, but we want to make sure we have a good, clear, crisp that we present to the public, brother.
All right, my brother.
I agree with you, because I too listen to program and any type of sound, it magnifies on here, whether we know it or not. I try to sit in a quiet spot when I know. If I'm not going to be in a quiet spot, I push a mute on my phone so I can hear the program and then unmute myself when I feel like talking. But let me just say this, you guys. I started to show off. I had this feeling in my heart, and you know, I prayed this morning real hard this morning. I got up real early and started praying, because I have an uncle that's fighting for his life, and the Spirit woke me up to pray for him and you know, just ask for him to be at peace with himself. And so I got on this church thing, because not one church that my uncle went to has called him or came and visited him. While he's been down, and he's been in the hospital 4 months. He was in the regular hospital, Kaiser North, for a couple of months. Then he went to a facility, a rehab facility, and now he's downtown on hospice, and he's still fighting for his life. And I just was thinking, you know, back in the day, the saints used to come and pray around HCN, Aunt Mamie, and a whole bunch of other sisters and brothers. They took shifts praying over a body, and I didn't see that. So I want to excuse myself for not coming on and letting us formally introduce ourselves to the listener. I'm One Gone, the DJ, the father, the mentor, and today I'm having an awesome day. The start of my day was awesome, because Almighty woke me up to be able to talk on this podcast with my brothers. Next, Brother Marvell, go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll have Mark, and then we'll have Brother Larry. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners before we carry on.
Yes, my name is Marvell. I'm pleased to be in this forum. I'm pleased to be. I'm gonna take a moment to do some edification. I looked up the term. It says, never look a gift horse in the mouth. And that, when I looked it up, it just says that consider the horse a gift and never take it for granted that it's not a gift. And I also have to say, I will not recognize a miracle when I see one. And when I see, who I'm talking about is this brother, Tim Poole. This brother is, in my mind and in my eyes, a miracle, because his story is, if he tell you his One Gone story, he ain't got to tell you no more, but his story is one of total redemption and just out and out, flat out miracle story. So I want to stop to edify this brother, because, and the reason why I want to do that is because I appeal to the people who have the time, like retirees or people who have successful businesses and have the time to pour in or to get involved with some of the things that we're doing in community. I want you to know that not only is this brother a miracle in his survival, but he is a miracle in his resource and his recall. I've never seen anybody that is so well known, but everybody that knows him, he knows. And what I mean by that is he calls them by name and he gives me particulars about what they do, when you did it, all that. That's part of the miracle that's fascinating to me. But what I want to impart to people who are listening is tune in, plug in, and let's get started where you are. Because wherever you are, I think this brother will help you get your fit, because he'll know who it is that you need to contact, or he'll refer you to an agency that you need, that you would do well to be involved with, or he'll be able to encourage you to bring out the best in yourself. That's what I would like to be considered beyond the subject today.
Ashe.
Ashe.
Brothers, are y'all there?
Well, my name is Mark, Mark the Disciple, and I'm a member of Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence, a strong member of the Healing Circle, which is needed worldwide because we all need healing. And I have to piggyback on what Brother Marbell said. Brother Tim is a root in the community, and he has branched out to reach other brothers that stand strong on certain issues. And we are here gathering here together, reaching out to others that have like minds and have some strong issues going on in their life and need some input and willing to give some input. We do need you guys to call in and speak your piece. Let us know how you feel about what we're talking about, because we could be wrong in some areas. We don't know. We're not right about everything. But we do need your input to help us move forward, because there's no progress if we don't take some steps. So I appreciate all the listeners out there and hope you continue to listen. But we do need your input. And if you don't have any input, tell a friend. Maybe they got something.
Right on.
Hello, my name is Larry. And I'm glad to be proud to be a member of the Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. And as Mark and I said, Mr. Tim has hooked me on this program for a couple of years now, and I'm really proud to get into it, because it's a lot to learn, and you can't learn something if you don't come to get it. So, I mean, I learned and felt better every Wednesday I go. I go to the youth. I even take my grandson or my other grandsons. So it's good to come out and enjoy and listen, and you always get something out of something. Okay? Mute.
All right. You heard from the brothers on the line. You could be on the line. The number's 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and we're going to take a pause for the calls, y'all.
Ain't nothing I can say, nothing I can do. I feel so bad, yeah, I feel so blue. I got to make it right everyone concerned, even if it's me, if it means it's me, what's getting burned, cost I could never. I'd have to pay for my mistakes. I can't blame you for what you're doing to me, girl. Even though my heart aches, your dreams have all come true, just the way you planned it. So I'll just step aside. Helping hand in, 'cause I can never make you unhappy. No, I'm not too bad, girl. Only when I can love you,
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Game Night. Join us every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Get together with others once a week for a night of camaraderie, friendly competition, and pure, genuine fun. Playing games like Trouble, Monopoly, Checkers, Sorry, Chess, Card Game, and Dominoes. That's every Thursday night at 2251 Florin Road in the Obama Room. For more information, call or text 916-889-0105.
And we will see you there.
That's right, tonight, game night. And tonight we'll be raffling off a pair of King tickets. That's right. We'll be raffling off a pair of King tickets brought to you by Yancey's Outreach Ministry, right? And so I'm going to go back to the phone line. Today's topic is where's the churches? And you heard from the brothers as we've been speaking. And so I'm going to go and open the phone line. Oh, we have Gene For Real, the urban critic, on. Hey, Gene, go on and introduce yourself, man. And we are talking about where are the churches.
Good morning, everybody. This is Gene For Real, the urban critic. And hope all is well. The thing is with the church, I'm going to say this. I can't get really too deep in it because I've never really followed the church real, real deep. But this is what I can say about it, like everything else. I think that probably the problem is the change of guard. In other words, the priority. Nowadays, the priority, the priority now is not the priority back then. And then also, I think with the social media, right, it's the place up I think it was advertised and marketing for the church when they would go out and show help and love and do everything, because then what that does is it shows the church was looking after you, so then now you look after the church, and then you report and tell everybody else how this particular church you go, they came and looked, and they actually they looked out for you. You follow what I'm saying? So it goes like hand in hand, kind of a like being inclusive and marketing them in, you know. And in certain situations, you know, because like me myself personally, I've never really been a real follower. I didn't learn religion correctly, you know. I guess however you want to say it, and you know, I rebelled against it because it was forced upon me. As a youth, but it is quite different when I grew up Catholic. You follow what I'm saying? I know people got bad things about Catholic, got bad all of them. But when I was young, I used to want to go to the black church because a couple of times I seen it, they was dancing and singing like they was having a ball, and they had baked chicken, gravy, green beans, rolls, mashed potatoes sometimes, right? But they be having a good time though. You follow what I'm saying? Seriously. And then when I go to the Catholic, it was all just like they sit there like businessmen and everything. And I used to didn't like that back then. But once I got older and got grown, I respect that more than anything in the world. How the Catholic go to church for 30 minutes and they have to get, but I know I'm doing too much talking, but I want to say this. It's going to be comical. But see, the thing is with the Catholic, what touched me with you know, their type of church is because, see, they go for 30 minutes. It's not a modeling contest. It's not a dress-up contest. It ain't a robot dance contest. It ain't a singing contest. And you only stay there for a little while because, see, them Catholics, they got to get back to their office, their ranch, their farm, their vineyard, their winery. In other words, they, you know what I'm saying? They ain't got all day to sit up in there all day in concert and play. That's how I look at it all day long. They got to get back into business. And if you look at society, who owns the most businesses and who's thriving the most in society, it's the less religious. And we can do the consensus right anywhere you want to. You understand me? The less religious is clocking them dollars. He's clocking them dollars in the one. But ain't nothing wrong with it now. I'm just telling you. Facebook.
Gene, for real.
You don't got to go out and be nice.
Gene, for real, you hitting on a good point. I got somebody else on the phone line. Who is this calling from the 916-208 number? Introduce yourself. Hello? 916-208. Are you there? Okay, we have another listener. Okay, so let me open the phone lines up. Brother Marvell, Brother Mark, Brother Larry, Gene For Real, and we have another caller.
here we go. You heard what Gene For Real spoke on, right? And I kind of agree with him. No, I don't kind of agree with him. I agree with him that, you know, it's a difference in the way churches congregate, right? So for Baptist church, I'll just say Baptist because that's the churches I attended. And he's right. My grandma and them had a bake sale every Sunday to get the doorknobs changed, to give to the poor people. They had, you know, just a whole bunch of service all day. And they'd leave from one service to go to another service and then come back to the night service, right? They stayed in the church, right? I understand what he said about the Catholics. They go and they don't have a concert there. They don't, you know, they get in, they get the word, and they depart real quick, right? And so it was a big difference in that. And then it's a whole bunch of religion. So I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. So being a spiritual person, I live by the Spirit. The Spirit touches me, and I do as the Spirit has me to do. With that being said, the phone line is open. The number to call is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. It's the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and we're talking about where are the churches. One of your brothers, would you like to go ahead and comment on what Gene For Real spoke on, or do you have something else that you would like to speak on?
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was just going to say.
Hey, look, go ahead. I'm going to call names. Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
No, I was just going to say we're all in agreement of what's really going on. You know, like I was saying earlier, it's hard to define the difference between these churches and these gangs. Like I say, they're all about themselves. It is a big fashion show. And they're teaching, they're life coaches, basically. They're life coaches and they're teaching financial prosperity. And that's really not of God. Like I said before, God wants unity. And we can't have unity with division. He wants like-minded people to be on one accord. And these churches are far from it. And it's a difference. It's just like it's a difference in the youth of today from yesterday. It's a difference in the church groups from yesterday and today. It's a big difference. And like we said before, the churches used to get together, and all the churches have big picnics, an annual picnic where they all come together. The congregations came together. Everybody knew each other. The churches, God strategically placed churches in the communities where he wanted them. And that church was for the people in that community to go to. Now you got people leaving from Oak Park to go to North Highlands, or from Roseville come to Oak Park to church. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The days of old, all the people in that neighborhood went to that church in the neighborhood, just like the kids went to that school in the neighborhood. And like I say, that now they're being bussed to different places, and that's not the way it should be.
I agree.
What? Hello?
I recall a story. Well, not a story, but because I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I used to be involved with the anti-drug and working with schools. And the news came one day and interviewed a young lady in a junior high school, and they asked this simple question. Young lady, why do you come to school? You know what she said? To see and be seen. That's what she said. Now, if we analyze what's going on, I'll tell you what I've observed in most churches, because Tim and I go into schools, and we'll do one of us will do a presentation, and Tim is real good at this. I'll do a presentation, and they might be involved, and they might be attentive to it, but we're not sure that they're grasping what's being said instead of just being excited to pay attention. But are they really getting the information so Tim will stop and say, hold it up. And he'll go to each one of them and say, look, now what did you get out of that? And if you did that with a church member after the sermon, and you went to him and say, hey, what was the pastor talking about? I would dare to say a large percentage of the people wouldn't be able to tell you. Because the entertainment factor and the CNBC factor sort of overcalled the message and the reason why we're here. So that's what I think we can stimulate in the church body to look at that dynamic and understand they're a little far flung from what's really going to be attractive to get more membership and to get more recognition for the word that they are sharing with people. Because the word is just a word now. It's not an embodiment to me. Because people can come from church and we get to talking and I might ask, what was the topic? Well, it was something about they're not clear. Yeah, I remember Pastor, he did say that, and it's like, it makes my mind real to think that you just been in there for 3 hours and you don't remember what the subject was. You can't come back and teach me something that you learned in that 3 hour period. So this is kind of like where we're looking at it. It seems to be, but what we can do is urge them to look at where they could be, and I think that's our job, and I think we're going to do a good job of getting that done. Because they're listening.
Excuse me, am I muted out?
Yeah, it is.
No one's muted out. The only one that's not on the line is 208 because of they didn't want to speak. They just want to listen. So, like I said, all churches are not the same. That's like anything else. There's good churches. There's Bible scripture reading coming from the word type of churches out here. There's not enough of them. That's like in anything. There's not enough of them. And that as we find ourselves in plenty of crises, that's when the church should be out on the forefront. They would get more participation. They'd get more, membership. They would get more out of being on the front line than to be behind, sitting in the church. Just ministering to the ones that are in the church. And then the other thing is there's churches right next to each other that don't even speak to each other. And I've seen this plenty of times, and we need to call a meeting, a come to Jesus meeting. As Big Mama used to say, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting right now. And so, I'm not trying to pick on any church, or I'm not trying to denounce any church or any of that. I just would like to know where are the churches when we having all this stuff going on in our community, like sex trafficking, fentanyl use, gang violence. That's the sick, the lost, and that's what a church is supposed to be. You can't get them to come to church if the church don't come to them. And that's what I know from my young folks that I talk to a lot of. They don't know nothing about God because their parents haven't been taught about God and nothing was passed down to them but trauma and drama. And so that's what they know. They know trauma and drama real well, but they don't know God like they know that trauma and that drama. And so, Gene, for real, I seen you. You was on, Gene. I just was away from the mic for a minute, but you was on. Everybody's on except 208. And then I'm going to go back there and see the caller from 208. We are on Wise Words of One Gun Show, and our subject is Where is the Church? Could you speak to that? Caller from the 208. All right, just listening. Okay, so that was my spiel. I'm not jumping on the church. I believe in God. I believe in the Spirit, and I do the work that God places in my heart to do for the community I serve and the people I love. And so I don't, like I said, I'm not bashing the church, but the church has to come to the forefront in these last days. These last days, we're seeing so much going on that if we don't see more ministers out in the street and doing what some of these other nonprofits are doing, they're out in the streets. They're saving lives. They're doing what needs to be done in our community. And so I just need to hear from some people. The number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. And so if you're going to be Christ-like, I'm going to need you to take off all them fancy clothes, get out them fancy cars, and walk like Jesus did. He walked. He made it, and he walked many a miles, touched a lot of souls.
Excuse me, the Urban Critic make a statement?
Yes, sir.
Listen here, what I want to say is, after I spoke initially, there's a guy, not the one right after me, but another fellow came on. I just want to comment on what he said about the financial prosperity that they speak about in the church, right? Well, I disagree with that. I went to a couple of churches. I've never heard them speak about no financial prosperity except for the church. I've never heard them talk about no business or helping nobody sign, no getting no mortgage or do anything that has to do with any business. It's always that 10% is for the church, not being negative church. But I've never heard of no talking about no prosperity for nobody that comes to church. I've never heard of no. The only prosperity maybe from the Lord, you're going to get something given to you out the sky from the Lord eventually. But other than that kind of prosperity, I ain't heard about no monetary prosperity up in one of them churches. That's basically what I wanted. When he said that final prosperity, I don't want nobody to get it the wrong way, because I've never seen one of them talk about no final prosperity except that 10%, and you're going to get yours tenfold over if you keep giving your 10% on Sunday. You get a 10, they call it, I heard them say that tenfold over stuff. But me, myself, I think that the overall problem is, y'all don't get this wrong, I think the blacks as a whole puts too much into the church. See, I think they put too much into the church, and all you have to do is look from both sides. See, I made up this thing the other day. I'm going to start using it in my media's talk. See, when a person's in school, I never was a copycatter, right? But now, have you ever seen a copycatter sit behind somebody that is known to get F's? And copy him? No. They sit behind the one they know always get A's and try to copy him. So what I say to you blacks, why won't y'all look side to side in the back to front, wherever you got to look, and look what everybody else is doing? Even people that came here after y'all and started way after y'all, they not doing what y'all doing. And you guys are expecting this outcome like these other people have, these other groups of people have outcome. But you're not doing what they're doing to get that outcome. You guys are putting too much high praise, and don't get it wrong. Y'all putting too much high praise in this God and this church and the whole business surrounded around this outdated church stuff. Now, back in the day when slavery and Jim Crow, I guess I'm going to say that that's all they had to hold on to. But I'd say they should have had their shotguns and their bats back then, and they could have beat Jim Crow with a shotgun and a bat. But with that Bible, the Bible didn't prove that the Bible will somehow work. It's just the people that it takes 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 years, 1,000 years. So majority of people that did that work don't get none out of that. But you know, when the Bible, you know, it might take 700 years. And you know what I'm saying? And that's like this, you didn't work at your job. You didn't work at a job for 10 years and you ain't never got a raise. And then the first day you ask your boss for a raise, you get fired. So that's kind of like how the Bible, you can't question. When you ask the Lord for your favor, he going to give it to you when they say he's going to give it to you, but you can't question him. So that's why I say take that question. That's why I say we need to copy who's either in front or on the side and do like they're doing it. We won't have all these discussions and wasted time and finances on getting our communities up to par with everybody else's. All you got to do is copy. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Stop going to church all day on Sunday. We can stop. We can challenge every pastor. This way, on Sunday, don't hold church for 6 hours. Don't do it. 1 hour, just 1 hour. Don't do it. And don't go and get, and don't call a tailor and get a custom suit, one of them long, the way it looks like one of them, a penguin suit all the way down to the ground with them big old square-tipped shoes and a hat to match and a car and all that. Don't do all that. See, that's where all the money and stuff and the faith is going to. Don't do it. Copy the people that are winning in first place. So all you got, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is copy. All right, that's Gene for real, the Urban Critic. That's all I got to say today. I'm signing off. I got to get back to the office now. But copy. That's where it's at. It's copy.
All right, Gene,
y'all know
for
I'm
real.
Telling the truth. Yeah, it's
thank
real.
You for
man.
Calling,
yeah. All right, y'all. Y'all have a good day.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right, now.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do what works, he said. Do what's working, he said.
Gene for real, hey Gene for real came with realness right there.
Why not? Hey, well, wait a minute. Why not? See, you say to him, why not do what's working? If you want it to work, you follow what I'm saying. That's like the Jews, the supposed to be Jews over there with the Palestine. They don't want to make no deal, and they ain't gonna make no deal. You can see it. They're not gonna make no deal. See, they ain't gonna, that's why they came up with anti-Semitic. You can't even say nothing to a Jew. If you do, it's anti-Semitic. If you can step on your shoe, and you better not say nothing.
You
anti-Semitic.
You understand some about that, though.
Huh?
They're not real Jews. They're not the real
that's
Jews.
That's what I said. I know they're not Jews. They're the same Europeans and Britons that came to, that brought the slaves to America. They're the same. They're white people from Britain and Germany and Switzerland and France.
All right, Joe. One mic, Joe.
Go ahead, Gene. I muted because it was two people
is,
talking.
I try to slow down. Let me try to slow down and get hyped. But, yeah, I know they're not original Jews. They're not Jews. They came after the war. They're the ones that were expelled out. But if you watch what's going on, they're doing the same thing what they done with us. They brought us here, and they wouldn't heed our call. You see what I'm saying? But the blacks, though, wouldn't fight back like these guys would fight. The blacks, the Bible, they wouldn't fight. You couldn't get them to fight.
That's my point right there.
You couldn't get them to fight. You know, they picked the Bible up. See? And the Muslims, they picked up the Koran, but they're going to pick up a rock, too. They're not going to go for it. But, see, that's one thing about the blacks. They will bend. See? They will bend because when they bend, because what normally is one black will talk all the blacks into bending for the benefit for all of us, but the benefit ain't going for that one was the one who said, let's bend. And it's been going on, and it's been going on that way for centuries. The one to say, let's bend, he wins off that, getting all the blacks to bend. You see? Yeah. But, you know, everybody got a wide range on how they see it and how they take it. But I know them ain't no goddamn Jews over there. You know what I'm saying? But I tell everybody, I don't got a dog in the fight, though. The black people don't got no dog in that fight.
No, we
you know,
don't. We don't.
We haven't been. We built America, and we ain't been paid. They taking all these billions of dollars. I'm appalled at them taking all this money and sending it to Israel, and they ain't paid me for my part of building America.
Well,
see?
if
well
I may chime in.
Go ahead, Mark.
If I may chime in, you know, we have to understand something. That book was given to us in desperate times. Why would I lock you up and give you the key to get out? I mean, just answer that for me. Let me finish now. They chained us. They did everything degradable to us, known to man. They did it to us. Then they placed the book before us and told us, this here is the answer, this is the key. And they shoved it down our throats. That book caused us to be docile. It told us to turn the other cheek. That's not the God I serve. See, God is spiritual. And God puts everything in man he wanted man to have, he placed it in him. But you got to get everything off the top before you can get to him. You got to forget everything you've been taught, heard, or read, and get to know God. You got to get a personal relationship. And God isn't about none of this mess that we're going through. We're going through this mess because we're chasing the bag. And I say it again, we're chasing the bag. Everybody wants that dollar. God did not make that dollar. That man made that dollar. You chasing something that you cannot make. And you can't get it unless you earn it.
You got to work for him to get it so you could buy these cars that he make, so you can buy these new houses that he make. This stuff will not go back into the earth without contaminating it. That's not of God. God created everything we needed. But no, we wanted to be comfortable. We wanted to live like the oppressor. We wanted the things that the oppressor had. So we pulled away from our unity and our love for one another and developed this need for greed. And we got to get back to basics. Get back to basics. You talk about the suits. They bought pimps. They all pimps. They got them sisters. They got every man's wife in that pulpit, in that church, giving them their money. That you don't
and some other stuff, too, and some other stuff on the under.
yeah, but I'm just saying, yeah. Like I said, I used to be a deacon. I know what goes on in these churches. And I'm not saying, like Tim said, not all churches. But we have to think. We have to look at the big picture. We're all a small piece of a big puzzle that God created. And the only way we're going to fit in, if we use our individuality, we're all individuals. But most people are clones. They're followers. They're following that man they see. Just like these kids following these rappers, we're following those preachers. Driving cars right. And all this and that. You know, it's all for naught. God is not pleased with it. That's why I like to go fishing, get out there around nature. People say, don't you be scared out here? No. Ain't nothing going on out here but peace, happiness, joy, love. People want to be around the city where all the confusion is. See, man likes confusion. He likes mess. We got to rethink some things.
Can I say one thing to you, brother? I want to say one thing what you were saying about they shoved the Bible down and they forced it down, all that, right? And I guess you're saying that in regard, they done that long enough to where you guys accepted it to where it was never forced on you. This was the way. But see, I still say it wasn't forced on you. It was somewhat forced, but you accepted it. Because look at the Palestinians. They're not accepting. They're not going to accept. And they talk about the Irish. Yeah, I know that they were harder on the blacks. But see, this is what happens. It's like breeding dogs and horses. You can either do what you're supposed to do or you're going to pay the price. So now, because the white man shoved that book, we shouldn't have let him shove the book. So you can't put it all on him. We shouldn't have let him. Cause what do they talk about in the media?
They talk about how the Irish
came here and stood up for their rights. They always talk about how somebody stood up for themselves.
Right. You know, we're the only ones that didn't fight back.
Man, I was saying, though, man, I'm just different. When I first went to catechism, that's what they train you on Saturdays for Catholic. I was 8 years old, and I told a nun, listen, if we can't go get a jelly sandwich, if we can't go get a jelly sandwich at Jacob or David or Esau, Isaac, and all them, if you can't take me to go get a jelly sandwich, I don't believe this stuff. I was eight years old. Yeah, 8 years old, you can see through that. You got an essence, you can see through that stuff, man. Yeah, how you going to put an ear on without no surgery? You can't put an ear with no surgery.
I commend you.
You know, but
I commend you,
everybody got their own way.
That's it. And that's the whole thing. That's about being an individual. That's your individuality. See, most men have that anymore. Men are scared of themselves. Men are scared to be alone.
I'm from a royal line because every male in my line is like this.
I know you are. We all are. See,
I'm from a line of this type of shit. I don't know about everybody else's line, but I'm from a line of this type of what I'm talking about.
We all come from royalty, and that's the whole problem. See, that's why we go through the problem.
Not the ones who came in, not the ones who accepted the Bible.
No, let me finish.
Are you guys arguing?
No, we're not
even debating. We're having a discussion. But when two men or three men have a discussion, if we all agreed on everything, then it could be good, it could be bad. You know what I'm saying? But I like to hear every different angle. It's not an argument, most definitely.
Well, I'm just talking about the overcall, because when y'all overcall each other, I don't hear either of you.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you too. I'm still a little rough around the edges. That's one thing. See, I'll tell the truth though.
But your passion is outstanding. You know, and we understand that. And so is Mark. So when you two guys get together, you know, in order to help us to get the message and get the delivery. You know, y'all work together to make sure that y'all do the one mic. so we can get
it. Okay, hey,
with
that being said, I got Brother Joe on. Brother Joe, go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we're going to take a pause for the calls and come right back because this is a very good topic.
How you guys doing this morning? And I'm glad
to be
among you. I'll wait till we come back on the other side. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, man, you got your fishing pole?
Got my fishing pole?
Yeah, man, we going fishing.
Man, I ain't going no fishing, man. I got this strap. These streets is hot.
Hey, man, you need to call Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence at 916-889-0105. Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. It's brought to you by Wise Words with One Gone Show, and we can work it out in. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence is taking the guns out of our kids' hands and putting a rod and reel in them. We are located at 2251 Florin Road in South Sacramento. That's Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. Join the crew and save a kid. You know how we do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so, man, it is a beautiful show that we're having here. I'm going to open the phone lines back up. One mic. We're going to go back with Brother Joe. Brother Joe, we're talking about where's the church? Where's the church and all that's going on? We have sex trafficking at an all-time high, fentanyl deaths, gang violence, domestic disputes, and a gang of other illnesses that are plaguing our neighborhoods. And we just wanted to find out. Where's the church in all of this? It comes from what you spoke on yesterday. And so reason I came up with this topic is because I went to see my uncle in the hospital, and not one pastor or church member that he's attended church has called him, has prayed for him. Because back in the day, my big mama used to go pray every day for somebody in the hospital. That was called missionary work, right? She'd get from what she was doing and go out and pray for folks. My Uncle Yardley, as Gene for real would know, would come and pray for his grandmother and their household. I heard something earlier saying it was the change of the guard. It was the change of the guard is why we don't have churches doing the things that they used to do in our community. What says you? Oh, and we have Brother Thurman. Thurman, go ahead and introduce yourself. I'll open the phone line for everybody. We just need one mic. Thurman, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, my name is Thurman Holland. I'm 59 years old, three kids. I got a 14-year-old son that I'm raising, single dad, because we lost his mom last year. So it's been pretty life-changing, but also life-embracing. I realized the chance that I got to be a single dad is I got to embrace it and keep moving forward in life. And that's what I'm doing with my life is moving forward. And I listened to some more of y'all talking about where the church at. So I'm glad to be here today with you guys.
Right on. Glad to have you.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, Brother Sam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we hear you.
I can.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. To answer the question, and I'm kind of glad that I sort of posed it a few days ago. I grew up in San Francisco, as you guys know, and I grew up in the church in San Francisco. Matter of fact, those two are Macedonia Baptist Church, where my father was an associate minister, and El Bethel, which is where I gravitated to as a teenager. I just heard the gentleman earlier as he and Mark were talking back and forth, and one go, I have to agree. The light of what we grew up with at our ages at this point, the light from the church is what we grew up with. That light is out, has been out. And that's why no one from the church, quote unquote, has come to talk with your uncle in church, because I agree with you. My aunt was an Eastern Star And I remember as a child her taking me every single hospital that had a member of the church in it, and a group of women, senior women, of course, but the Eastern Stars. That practice is no longer something that the church does. It's not a mystery. The light's out. Now, what do we do? Those of us that know that Brother Mark was saying earlier, the light is from within, first of all. And the brother that was talking back and forth with Mark, I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you. I, too, after I came back from Vietnam, being thankful to be alive and surviving that, turned. Uh-oh.
What's going on?
I don't know. There's somebody in the background on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something in the background. I'm nowhere near that. I'll finish the thought. I too agree that those of us that know, as Brother Mark has been saying, and the gentleman also that, and I don't know who that is, but those of us that know that still have that light in us, let us step forward. Because the one positive thing that I got from the teachings of the Elijah Muhammad and the Brothers of Islam is that when you need to make a move, you step forward. You step forward, not always with the best foot, but you step forward. That gives the individuals that you're stepping to the opportunity to see that there is a way, there is a conversation, there is something that can be gravitated to. But the man that knows needs to step forward. And a lot of black men have not taken up that concept of stepping forward. We step sideways. We've stepped back, and like the gentleman was saying, these are fighting words, quote unquote, and that's royalty. We are the warriors of our generation. Number one, while we're here. Number two, we've been placed, as I said last night in the meeting, the ship of Zion. We're the crew. With a crew, and with the crew on the ship, all we need to do is put sail up and get going, because there are a lot of individuals who want to be on board but don't have the strength to be on board. By seeing us, hearing from us, talking to us, that strength is slowly but surely being gained. And I just say just move forward. Gird your loins with the positivity and thoughts of God. Sharpen your sword, and gentlemen, let's step forward.
Amen.
I say.
Amen.
I got two swords, though.
That's all right.
Two swords.
It's needed. Brother Marvell, it's needed. It's needed.
I see, you know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, reflecting on the one is that when we congregate, it is a blueprint for our ministry. So we're what is designed to be. The congregation would be rehearsing and scripting as a religion, what they're going to do spiritually. That's what happened when, back in the day, when we're talking about where members go to the churches and go to the hospitals and they visit the sick, they feed the hungry, and they deal with the infirm, and they are in the community addressing social issues because their spirituality has been alerted through the religion. But now we're not seeing the one, two. We're just seeing the old one. congregation without and religion, rituality without the spirituality, because we're not seeing them, we're not feeling their energy anywhere else but where they congregate. So it's like it's not a one, it's not even a 1-2 punch, it's just a jab. You know, so you can't win a bout with just a jab. You got to have combination, and they're not frying their combination. So we're if anybody's here listening that has a affiliation with a church or a pastor or someone like that, I hope you understand that we're massaging muscles that you probably just haven't been using. It ain't like you don't have them. It's just that you haven't been using them. So we're massaging that muscle. We're not kicking dirt, and we're not denouncing the whole practice. But what we're saying is that you only doing one of the 1-2 punch. Make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. The whole thing is, if we knew better, we'd do better. Go ahead. No, I said if we knew better, we'd do better. There's too much going on in the church right now. There's a lot of things that's not of God that's taking place in the church. There are people in position in churches that should not be in position. Kids should not see certain things going on because they begin to idolize that. And not only that, these guys are messing with these kids, turning them out.
Yep.
See, it's a lot, like I said, it's a lot of things going on that's not of God, but it's going on in the name of God. That's why I say people got to get to know God for themselves. You are the church. That's just a building that houses people. People are supposed to go to church. You go there to praise and worship. That's where you go to sharpen your iron, sharpen your swords, so you can get out here and do battle. It's not a place where you go and lollygag and mingle and look at who's got on what and take up offerings. See, that's why these churches go so long, because they want to have 4 or 5 offerings. It's all about the bag. They're chasing the bag. You know, we got, no, I'm serious. We got to get away from that. And I wasn't arguing with the brother. I was really in agreement with him. I was in agreement with him because we are warriors. We're all warriors. Just because you don't see it on the outside, it's in there. But to be docile, we've been taught not to rebel, not to buck against the system. So we don't. And when you don't do something for so long, it's just like that dog, you put him in a cage. You could open that cage up. He ain't going to come out. He ain't going to come out. He's going to stay right there. See, because you've been trained. That's why I go fishing. That's how I know I'm free. That's where I get my freedom from. Because they build these houses for y'all to go into. America's one big penitentiary. You go into your house, you lock your door. They know where you're at. They know you're going to get off work and go home and lock your door. That's why they work you so hard, so you'd be too tired to do anything else. You can't enjoy your family. They make the prices so high that you can't even take a kid out for enjoyment. To play football, it costs too much. To go to an amusement park, it costs too much. They took the joy out of life, so you got to get your joy from God.
Yes, sir. Hey, so, Mark, let me just come in right there. I heard something about fasting at church, and everybody's all dressed up to go to church. And so I just want to say this, and I'm serious when I say this. There was a young lady who was on the streets, and she had got saved by some people from a sex trafficking situation. They told her, you know, they had some resources for her, and they wanted her to go to these certain places to get the resources. So she went for food. She went to Fish and Loaves. For clothing, she went to Sacramento Homeless Shelter and got clothed. They said to work on your spirit, they sent her to a church. Now, when she got to the church, she didn't have the fancy clothes because she got some from the Salvation Army or whatever downtown, the Sacramento homeless shelter. That's where she got them from. And so when she went to church to, you know, give herself to God, she had on what most call a ratchet suit, which, you know, she didn't have everything covered, and she didn't, you know, she was really coming to seek guidance and assistance.
Do you know
that came as she was? Do you know the usher escorted that young lady out of the church and said, "We don't wear clothes like that in here, and we can't have you in here"? Now, if they say come as you are, you should be able to come in your, if you ain't got no nothing but a towel over you.
A linen.
You
should
be
linen.
Able to,
a linen.
Or whatever. You should be able
like
to Jesus. Come in and the church, if they did see that you were underdressed, their job was to help you get dressed, help you show you the way.
Correct.
Show you the way, not show you the door. And
that's
so
correct, Tim. The
when this young lady, when this young lady denounced the church, she was at another meeting with the people that sent her to get all these resources. She reported to them, mm-hmm. "I thank you for sending me to the community-based organization where they gave me food. I thank you for sending me mm-hmm. to the community-based organization that gave me clothes. I thank you for sending me to the community-based organization that helped me do my resume to get me going in the right direction. But what I don't appreciate is you sending me to that church where they judge me for who I am."
Now,
what say the people?
Wow. You know, my brother, that's true what you are saying. The churches of old, the mothers would come up and clothe her if they just put a sheet over. See, when I was a deacon, I was a member of this small church. Had a pretty large congregation. It was full. The little church was full. But the my bishop's children had a different vision for the church. See, that's what happens. See, people with new visions come in and change things. They want to update things. I would bring drunks in off the street, and they come in willingly with me. And I sit them down, and they tell me he can't come in here. Well, not tell him if he can't come in, then I don't want to be in here. Well, he's drunk. That's the more reason for him to be in here. Y'all have been in here for 20, 30 years, and ain't nothing changed. Maybe God could change him. But that's the whole thing. It's just like these schools. Every place back in the day had a closed closet where they could change into something so they could hear the word. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, it's just common sense. But like I say, man has the wrong idea about things. His thought pattern is off. You know, like I say, people are no longer greeted with love. That's why I say when we meet people, we got to stop seeking the fault and seek the need. Because everybody has a need, and we all have a means to help that person, just like we do in the healing circle. Somebody come in there with a need, we immediately help them. Show love. Show love is going to turn away wrath. I mean, it's building. Love is the best building block you could ever have, and it should be the foundation of any building. Any organization should start off with love.
Mark, let me piggyback off you before somebody else does. And so last night in the healing circle, people always say, "What is the healing circle? Ain't you healed yet? You've been going there a long time." As long as I'm living, I ain't going to never be healed. I ain't going to never be healed because of the things I see around me, the trauma that I've been through in my life, the drama that I've been through in my life, it still haunts me today. And so what happens is, last night we had a Hispanic brother come in. He was the only Hispanic in there, and he felt comfortable around all the brothers that was in there enough to say he lost his son, his nephew, and his niece all in a period of 4 months, all in the period because he just come home from the feds, and he had lost all of his niece, nephew, and son to fentanyl, and he cried out for the help of the people to help him understand what's going on out here in these streets, because he's been gone for 9 years, and some of the stuff that he remembered ain't the same no more. And so when that brother left, I made it my point to go to him and said, "Brother, you are welcome here anytime. We know you just got a job, and you said you have two jobs. And so if you don't come, it's nothing. You know, just call us and let us know you okay, and that's enough for us." But he said, "You know, while I was sitting here, the Spirit was talking to me, saying that this is a place that I need to be so I can heal from what I'm feeling, because everybody in here has had either a death in their family, a drug addict in their family, loss in the family," and he felt comfortable enough to sit there and talk 20 minutes about who he is in front of people he don't know. And so I want to give a shout to you brothers that keep the healing circle real as possible. Like I said, this is not to gain money. We don't ask for money. We don't collect no money. We're not doing that, because that takes away from the realness of what we come for.
No, we don't collect money. Hold on. Let me just share an extension to what we do with the healing circle. We don't collect money. We share money. The young man expressed he had a concern about working two jobs, and he's the only one working, and we pulled together money for him to walk away with. And that's
what?
The type of spirit we're talking about. When compassion kicks in, there are no limits, and there are no colors, and there are no ethnics that are exempt from compassion. So that's what we experience when we're together, is compassion. And that's the one thing that I will go back to the subject matter. That's the one thing that I question about churches and churchgoers. Where is the compassion?
If it ain't there, if you don't see it, it ain't there.
The law is in the demonstration. So you can say what you want to say, but if I don't see you demonstrating it, then I have to question whether it's there, just like you said.
Exactly. That's what I just said. It's simple. That's simple to me. That's simple. But I want to say one thing now. I'll say two things, actually. See, all this stuff you guys were just saying about the church going back and forth and all the different things that's going on and what's not going on in the church, there's two things we can try as a whole. But y'all still not listening to what I said earlier, because all we're saying now, we have to worry about that. If we copy the whites and the Asians, we ain't got to worry about all this stuff y'all talking about, because they don't do all this. I just told y'all earlier to copy the man in first place. But see, it's simple. It's simple. You don't have to do all this hashing back and forth and what's wrong and going and this and that and who got what. Go ahead and copy the first place winner. That's all. Okay, now, and I'm going to something else I try to note, but it lost me. I know what it is. See, when somebody, a minute ago, you were talking about, I think, was, but man, I can't write the ship down faster. Man, I wanted to get in there. I can't get my notes what I had there. I'm gonna stick to a thing. Just copy. We ain't got to go through all this. But what you can do this Sunday is, Tim, we can get nationwide, and let's just try it, because like one of the folks was saying, they're doing new stuff and trying all kinds of different stuff. So let's try something globally this weekend. Let's call for everybody. Don't go to stay home and let church be in your own self like they say it is. Let your church be in your own bosom, and don't go to the church house. And let's see how your economy level in your own home will rise if you just do church in your own home. Everybody do church. Don't go, since y'all saying there's so much problem assembling and the people judging people and eating chicken. Stop doing it like everybody. The people that's got all the money, they ain't doing that. I keep telling y'all, y'all want to do what y'all want to do, but you want something, but you want a different outcome. See, you can't play basketball. You can't go to my basketball court and blame your football rules over here. See, that's what y'all trying to do. Copy the first place winner. I don't see what's wrong with that.
Well,
what's wrong
brother,
with copying the one that's been won for 100 years in a row? He ain't never lost. Why not copy?
That's the whole thing there. Black coffee. When you're an individual, you just.
If you was an individual, you wouldn't be on the bottom. Well, then you must be a pissed poor, weak individual. If you're begging and pleading on you're on the bottom, you're at the root of everything wrong. You're getting abused on everything.
Hold on, G, for real. Let's hear his point. Then you come back.
This is the whole thing. When individuals come together, they can bring their individuality and come together as a whole because we need each other. We need each other. Say we don't need the division. We don't need to follow no one because it's in us. We're winners already. They all copied us. They got to where they got everything that they got from our knowledge. Everything derived from our knowledge. I don't go to church. I am the church. I go out and I minister to individuals. And all I tell them to do is get to know their creator, whoever it may be. Whoever you worship or whatever, get to know them. Get a personal relationship with them because it's all about love. It's one big love fest. And as long as you got love, you ain't got no mess. But without love, you got mess. We got to love on one another, man. We got to love on one another. Now go ahead, my brother.
I say, Gene, for real, you
can't
back
just love
on.
Anybody. Huh?
You say you can't just
on?
Love anybody? Yeah,
you
say
can't.
you can't
love
anybody.
You got to find out. I'm divorced now. Love somebody the wrong person.
You just gonna
pull up and start loving and offering out all your goodness and just love it. It don't work that way. The black people have been trained wrong for 300 years. The black people gonna have to change their way of thought that they've been thinking for 300 years. It's the wrong way. And earlier you put words in my mouth. I didn't say follow. I said copy. And then you come back and say they stole all from us. Then all we're doing is taking back. Then we really need to do it if all we'd be doing. If we copy them, all we'd be doing is taking back what really was originally ours. I don't see why everybody ain't taking back what's ours. And that's the determining what's going to put us back where we need to be. All we got to do is take back what's really was ours. I don't see why they ain't lined up doing that because I was just talking about just copying. But now you telling me it's really mine from the gate. I'm ready to get my shotgun and go get mine now. You know, I was just gonna copy, but you saying he got what's mine. I'm gonna go take it now. See.
Hey, it's the wise words who won't go show.
I've never been a follower, but I will follow though the right individual once I determine that he's followable. I just ain't gonna follow nobody that pull up with a cane and some sandals and ashy feet talking about brother, man, black us blacks. Because 9 times out of 10, that brother that show up with them sandals and ashy feet and a cane, he got it. He wants some nickels and pennies. All them brothers talk that togetherness, that black togetherness stuff. They broke and they want some nickels and pennies. You understand me? Nickels and pennies. They broke talking that because it don't take all that. Why the other races ain't got to do all this? You got races that came to America way after us. Why they don't? Now I know it's harder on the blacks and it was real rough, Jim Crow and all that. But, man, these other people, that's been a long time. These people that came and showed, man, that you can make it. You can make it. But, see, the blacks, they want to hold on to that old, that religion. They want to keep holding on to that non-eye for an eye. And you can say whatever you want. When it all boils down to, the black man going to put his faith in that Bible. You can say all what you want up and down. In some kind of way, he's going to find a way putting that Bible. And the longer he keep doing that, the further he's going to be behind. Now, you can take it how you want. Take it. Do the statistics. Look at the consensus. That's all you got to do. The white man don't do that, and the Asian don't do it. So why you want to do it? And you're losing every time. You're losing, crying and pissing and moaning for 100 years, but you refuse to change your order. So ain't nothing going to change. Copy the white man or copy the Asian. You don't have no problem.
Don't tell the truth. Smiling face.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
Family
Skate Night.
Killing as one.
And it's all taking place at King's Skate Country in the city of Elk Grove, Thursday, November 30th, 2023.
From 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
And in light of this special occasion, the key word is free.
Free?
Free. Everyone free. Free entry, free food, great music equals fun for you and the family. King Skate Country, 1404 Franklin Boulevard, Elk Grove, California. We'll see you there.
November 30th, right?
Right.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah, we have about 32 songs that have been submitted in the last 3 weeks. In the last 3 weeks, we got some songs that I'm going to be playing tomorrow on Funky Friday from some of our local talent here in Sacramento. So the first half of the show was the first hour. We'll be talking about situations in our neighborhood. And then the last hour, we will play nothing but the hits from the streets of Sacramento. I'm going back to the phone line with some brothers of mine right here on the Wise Words with One Gone Show. What's going on, brothers? I'm opening up the line for you. And, it's a beautiful show. This show right here, man, has set a mark. It set a mark where our brothers come together speaking on the topic of where's the church, right? And so what we know is that churches have been a part of our upbringing for most of us. And then the thing that I found out that most of us with that type of upbringing don't even go to church today. And so I'm trying to find out what happened from now on until we get off in the next 29 minutes. I'm trying to figure out if you go to church, you tell me why you go to church. And if you don't go to church, please tell me why. And I'm going to start with Brother Marvell. Brother Marvell, do you attend church?
No, I do not.
Can you tell me why you don't attend?
Well, the reason being is that it's so cosmetic to me, even me, because I have a lot of clothes and I come from a long line of dressing, right? And in Sacramento, there's not that many places to go to dress. So I think that the church might be an outlet for people who are like me that want to go and be seen, as the young lady said back in the interview. But I don't really get the spirit. I have to, when I get in the atmosphere, I almost have to close my eyes and pray myself into the spirit that encourages me to want to be in ministry when I leave there. I have to focus myself on that because I'm not getting the feel that what's being shared is for me to take out, and that what's there for me is just enough to hold me there and entertain me. I mean, the best choirs, folks depend on their choirs to hold their membership a lot of times. So they get some of the best singers, and these singers can move you, right? But they only move me in the place. They don't move me to want to go elsewhere. They just move me while I'm there. So it's almost like really a form of entertainment and appeasement of my soul and spirit while I'm there, but I have to push myself to look beyond there and do something elsewhere. And that's what I'm talking about. I only get that one. If it's a 1-2 punch that's going to be effective, I only get the one. And the two, I have to summons myself. So if I got to do it myself, I might as well learn how to do the 1-2 from where I am rather than going somewhere else where I ain't getting it.
Appreciate that. Mark, coming to you, Mark. Mark, coming to you.
Yes,
do you go
sir.
To church?
No, I don't. Like I said before, I used to be a deacon. I've been an usher. I used to be a deacon, an usher of my bishop's armor bearer. I sing too much. God pulled me out the church because God is no longer in the church. Like our brother Marvell said, it's a place of entertainment. Everybody's chasing the bag. We got to come away from that. Like I said, you cannot ever think that you're going to get more than they make. They're not going to give it to you. When they do give it to you, you think you done came up, they're going to raise the prices up. So you still where you are. You just got more of what you had. Nothing. It's nothing but filthy rag. That's all. And I'm out. Go ahead, one gone. Did I run everybody off? I apologize.
All right. And we're going to go to Brother Larry. Brother Larry, do you go to church?
Yes, I go to church, but I don't go as often. About a month or two ago, I just had surgery, so I was out for over a month. And now that my grandson, I'm more, you know, dedicated to him. He's playing football, like, this weekend. We'd be gone for 3 days. The next weekend, he's playing for 3 days. And he'd be traveling, and next month we'd be in Vegas. But then at the church I go to, I had a situation where one of the mothers in the church came to my house and trying to start things between me and my wife and took the keys from my wife and threw them at me. And she's supposed to be a mother in the church. And so when I tell the pastor just seems like he don't care and mostly talk to the woman in the church. The mother is still there. And she's a mother. And so that makes me start backing away because it makes me feel like there's some people in the church and there's some people that's playing church. You know, you can't go and play church. And church starts within your own self and your own heart. So I just backed back for a little while because my father had a church in Beaumont, Texas, and he was the minister. It's his church. So I'm a son of a minister.
So yes, sir.
I'm out.
We appreciate that. Brother Joe.
Gentlemen, I do not. Brother Mark is correct, and we all have made the same statement that it's from within. I was in the choir and some other activities while I was growing up in the church. God is not there. And that's why I'm not there. God is within me. I understood that. I've just gravitated to letting God be manifested in the things that I do. The only thing I can really say to the topic is that God no longer has been in the church. The church has been about the bag. As Brother Mark has been saying, that is true because it's seen. And so I'm really, really thinking that, again, one of the things that the prophets spoke about early on in the game, go to the people. Go to them. We may be under a concept of God, but the warriors, spiritual, those of us that have God with us, let's go to the people. And I'm out.
Thank you, brother. Brother Thurman.
Yes. No, I do not go to church. And the reason why is I explained it to you. Years ago, well, I grew up in Ohio, so, and my grandfather was a devout Jehovah Witness. My grandmother, who I predominantly lived with and raised me, was a Baptist, you know. So if I was at home, I had to go to Jehovah's Witnesses Church with my mom. My dad never went.
And then when I was, most of the time I was at my grandma's, then I would go to the Baptist church, which, you know, Southern Baptist. And, you know, in each one of them, I saw a lot of things going on that shouldn't be going on. So as time went on in life and grew up and stuff, and then I decided in 1990 to join the Jehovah Witnesses in Reno. And I try to do the best I can and everything. And then we moved back to Ohio, came back to Reno, and I went back to the same congregation that I was studying with. And I got baptized in 2002, October 27th. And after I got baptized, the brothers in the congregation and the women felt like that for some reason after I got baptized that they had control of my life. They started following me around the city. I had a brother come up to my job 3 times, and I was telling him, I said, "You can't do this, man. You coming up here, you look like a detective or a DA or something. Why do you keep coming up on my job checking on me?" And in controlling, so I realized a lot of the doctrines that the witnesses go by, they claim they go by the Most High's doctrine, but then you look and you get into their organization and you really, when the Lord opened your eyes and the Spirit really hit you, you see there's a bunch of man doctrines. And I can't follow man doctrines like that. That's something I can't do. I have to go with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And then also the day reason why I don't go to the church, because it's blasphemy. I'm like, who want to go to church and sit next to two LGBTQ males or women in there? And plainly it says inside of the scriptures that is not what we supposed to be doing. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of that, you know? And now the world, especially this country, they making it seem like, oh, you can be that way. God still loves you. And you can love the same sex. You can't have children. You can't procreate. You can't, but it's selfishness. This is what I want to do. They want to love the same sex. I'm like, and then they go up in the churches, you know? And I'm like, so what happens when they get to that part of the Bible about Sodom and Gomorrah? What happens when that comes up? Do they skip that whole chapter? What's up? You know, so it's all false to me. It's like Babylon, you know, just false religion. There's so much false religion out there today that I'm glad we got the Men's Healing Circle on Wednesday, because that is the true spirit right there, you know. And I got a 14-year-old son, and he ain't never been in the church. Now, my two older kids have. They've been to kind of Kingdom Hall and stuff. But this young man, I do from what the Spirit gives me in my heart and soul, the knowledge that the Most High gave me, I'll bring it to him myself from his father. He'll see me in my room studying or reading the Bible, and I have my phone out because I got there's words in there I don't understand, and the way they put things were put and everything. I got a better understanding now of why we have the King James Version and everything. But there's something in there that I feel is true. My son, come here. What you doing, Dad? I said, come here. Sit down. I said, I'm going to read a chapter with you, and we're going to discuss this. So I start my church right here inside my home with my children. And I live by example, you know. And so going to church and being a parent like that, I wouldn't do that to my kids, because it's so much false religions out there today, and I wouldn't want them to get going down the wrong path, you know. So I rely on my faith and my love for the Most High in Christ, and I try to live by example and let them know that your dad really believes in the Lord and loves him. And let me tell you something. I told Theodore, my 14-year-old son, last year. I said, well, you know, God come first. I love God before I love you. He started crying. He said, why, Daddy? I said, let me show you. So I took him to the Bible and read, are you supposed to put the Father first and then the Christ, you know, and then all be given to you. Because, and I had to let him know, see, even though you're my biological son, you belong to God first, you know. You belong to him. See, he's given me privilege to have you as a son and raise you to be a man, and that's what I must do. But if I don't love him first and I put you or myself first, everything going to go wrong because it's going to be selfish. I'm not going to be guided the right way how to raise you to be a good man and a strong man. And then he's a young black teen, too. Hey, I got to do the best I can, and the only way I know to do that is to have my faith and trust and love in the Most High in Christ. And I'm not going to get distorted or let my kids get mixed up going to these organizations and these churches and, you know, seeing things that don't make no sense, you know. Then they'd be like, well, Dad, what's that? You trying to explain something to people, and it really don't make no sense because the truth is right there. God made man, and he made woman for man. And that's it. I'm out. Man,
you signed off real swell, all of you brothers, man. And so, man, I appreciate y'all, man. You got to tell a friend to call in, man. We have to spread this word. I can do so much to get the listeners back on this air, but you can do a better job with me. Spreading this word, that number, and telling them to call in, man, and be a part of the discussion. I think we got something here, like Marvell said. I think we got something here. We're going to ship it up, and we're going to ship it out, right? Shape it up and then ship it out. I'm going to give y'all one before I come back. We got 13 minutes. This is for all the brothers that's on here. It's a little bit of Marvin Gaye.
I've been for real, babe, with a troubled mind. Blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Yes, sir. We're at the end of this here thing, man, called Blog Talk Radio's Wise Words of One Gone Show. And, man, it has been a wonderful, wonderful session with our brothers, right? And so, again, tell a friend. We're on Monday through Friday right here on the Blog Talk station. What I'm going to do is open the line. We have 8 minutes left. For farewells, comments, concerns, anything that may come across, but we only got 8 minutes, so let's move this and let everybody get in. So I'll go with Marvell. Marvell, you spoke well.
Yes, sir.
The brother spoke well today. Just give us a high cap of what you heard, and we're going to pass the mic.
Yeah. Marvin say taxes, death, and trouble. And I interpret the taxes as something that we're probably not going to be able to do anything about. And the death is not a ground death. It's a spiritual and emotional death that is causing us trouble. Right now, we're doing what we can to keep the spirit alive. And we're speaking from the heart, whether one we agree with each other or not. We have our heartfelt expressions, and we speak it with passion and conviction. And that's a very good beginning for us to open up the cauldrons of spirit coming from people who are listening and who are ready to call in and do the same. So right now, I feel as though we're on the brink of opening up the avenues for the lights to become brilliant collectively. I just want to mention, we practiced collective economics last night, and we do it often. When there's a lot of people and a lot of people give a little, somebody comes up with a lot. And that's how we do collective economics and collective energy to make things happen and to get the right, revive the spirit and the emotionality of a people who right now seem to be asleep.
Next, Mark.
Yeah, I have to agree with Brother Marvell, as a lot of times I do. We did have a good topic and discussion today, which we need to touch on again in the near future. I like a lot of things that was spoke on, because it opened up a lot of eyes and ears to what's really going on and what's really needed. And like I say, there's nothing without love. We got to learn to love one another. When we learn to love one another, we'll learn to listen, and we'll learn to see the needs that others have and see how we can help them. Because when you help someone else, you're helping yourself.
And that's where blessings come from. See, we get too much that we want to hold on to. We got to turn this stuff loose because we can't take it with us. And like I say, you know, I just hope, wish that more listeners would call in and give their input. That's what we're here for. We can't learn if you don't teach it. I'm out.
Brother Larry.
Yeah, I agree, too, that what we need more of is more people to call in because there's more comments out there. And, you know, we love to hear from every other one because everybody got a new topic and a better topic. So if we can hear from everybody, you know, maybe things can manifest and we all get a good handle on what's going on in this community.
Me, Ashe. Brother Joe.
The agreement is in our action. Our words, the podcast. That's the agreement, that we will move forward. Listening to everyone, and I appreciate everyone's comment. I think that it's not only opening up eyes, Brother Mark, ears, but that we need more of it. This podcast has been a godsend, so to speak. And from my understanding, this is the first type of talk show that the people of color in Sacramento have had. So let us move forward. As I always say, let us move forward.
Ashe. Brother Thurman.
Okay. Yes. I feel real good about this podcast. I really enjoyed it this morning. I often think about our community, and I think about what Mr. Farrell was saying there about copying other cultures, and because they always in first. Now, I understand what the man is saying is, I hope this is what he said, like the African marketplace. You know, them people, they spend money in their communities, and their dollars keep going round and round before it leaves their communities. And we have to copy that. We got to start spending the money in our communities. So what do we do, Thurman? What's the solution? Well, first of all, we got to stop worrying about somebody else coming in our community and helping us out to get our communities looking nice. We got to start helping our community and our neighbors. Mr. Tim has a little group of young men, and they call it flooring beautification. They always cleaning up on floor. Well, we need to start spreading the word around. We need to start cleaning up our neighborhoods by ourselves with our people. Let's go and make our places look nice. We don't worry about what everybody else is doing and what not we doing. When we copy what another culture is doing, when we really look at it, what he's saying is, they take care of their people. They take care of themselves. And I often heard so many times at the Men's Healing Circle, people hire people that look like them. People want people that are living next to them look like them. Why can't we show these young people? These young folks don't know how to cut grass. They don't know how to chop wood. They don't know how to measure. They don't know how to fix a bike. Well, we come from a generation where we've done all of that. So we have to bring all this back to these young folk and keep this knowledge and wisdom going. And it's one thing that's been bothering me since last night. We had a brother there last night that mentioned that his wife said she wished she would have never had any kids with him. And that's still on my mind today. And I don't know why, but we don't never anybody when they're getting stuff off their chest and healing. But somebody should have said to him before he left, hurt people hurt people. The woman is hurting. And I know the man loved his wife, but what it is they got to find out. He has to find out. And through his brothers, we're going to have to talk to that man and find out, you know, help him find out why his wife is hurting so bad that she had to say things like that to hurt him. See, that we got that problem in our community, you know. Our women will say things to us that hurt us, you know. So we got to find why and what is it. and we got to just be men and say, I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean that. So there's things that's going on with Coach Thurm over here and the church thing. Like I say, I'm not messing with them folks. And but I love the Healing Circle. I get so much knowledge and wisdom every week. You know, I was kind of tired last night. I almost wasn't going to show up, but I said, no, I'm not going to do that because the Spirit of the Lord is there for real. And that's all I got to say, fellas.
Ashe.
And y'all ever seen, y'all ever been to church with a, or seen it on TV where preachers touch people and they fall out? I mean, the anointing just that high, they be like, it be falling out. Man, I was in revival like this, and I'm in line, right? Everybody in front of me had fell out. I was like, ooh. Because I'm going to be honest, I don't mind falling out sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying, I want to do what it takes, you know what I'm saying, to help the ministry, right? You know what I'm saying? But this particular evening, I had on some real toe-up stockings, y'all. Yeah, I'm talking about they were raggedy. I had a big old hole on my thigh. I'm saying, you couldn't see it then, because, you know, ladies, I put the fingernail polish on, you know, to keep it from going down my leg. But, you know, I'm still conscious of it, because even though the skirt stopped right here, I got this big old hole. So I'm standing in line like, I ain't falling no matter what. So the preacher, he get the grease put in the hand, rubbing them real good. You know, he started feeling something because he did like this. And the guy ready to knock me out. I was like, oh, nah. Nah, I can't do that today. He thought I had the devil in me, right? So he went and got about five or six more preachers to come help him. He said, y'all come over here and help me with this one. Y'all come help me with this. He giving them all they just rubbing hands. Everybody started letting in the name of, oh, no, I ain't going down. I ain't going down there. Go on now. Go, I ain't going. I ain't going. I ain't going now. Go on now.